Good morning, my friends. Here we are, hour number three of our get-together. It is 8:07, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and so much to talk about. And one of them is Trump just keeps on winning. We had mentioned it in brief about the deal with Japan. We'll dig into that just a little bit. Massive $550 billion trade deal has been reached with Japan. Yep. It's going to create hundreds of thousands of jobs. And the deal just got done yesterday. Perhaps the largest deal ever made, Trump wrote on Truth Social. Japan will invest, at my direction, $550 billion into the U.S., which will receive 90% of the profits.
That's cool.
Are you tired of winning?
No.
All right. No. Speaking of which, we have our own winner we like to talk to on a regular basis. Her name is Congresswoman Kat Kamick, and she joins us now. Good morning, Kat. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Doing well in the home stretch, just waddling around like you wouldn't believe.
Hang in there. Pump it up. You can do it.
Is it August 17th or something like that? Is it August 17th? Is that right?
Well, true to her being my daughter, she will probably be making an early appearance.
Ooh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, she's in the 99th percentile.
Wow. Well, congratulations. Yeah. Once again, she's overperforming, just like her mom. You've got a little celebration going on. You're one of really like the lone people in D.C. that's really a champion and been looking out for Florida ag, and you get it how important Florida ag is to our state. And I know farmers, everybody really appreciates it, and you show appreciation for the fact that disaster relief is coming to Florida farmers, $675 million. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's not the sexiest topic in the world, right? It's not grabbing headlines on Fox News, but it is critically important because food security is national security. And we are the lone federal representative for the entire state of Florida when it comes to agriculture here on Capitol Hill. What's crazy to me is people tend to think of Florida as, you know, Disney and beaches and palm trees. And while that's all true, we actually are a incredibly large ag state, 300 specialty crops. It's the number two economic driver for us. And, of course, our area is home to some of the best damn farmers and ranchers. I would put them up against anyone, not just in the country, but the world. And so not only do we have the best folks, but we also have some of the most unique challenges. And so this announcement of $675 million in disaster aid, it is long overdue. We've got folks out all the way in Cedar Key and Horseshoe Beach and areas out there where, you know, they're commercial shrimping, they're clamming, and then you've got folks that are doing, you know, your traditional row crops. You've got peanuts, watermelons, blueberries, and every time a storm rolls through, these are specialty crops. They don't have the traditional coverage and risk mitigation tools like corn and wheat out in the Midwest. So we have unique challenges, and this is one step in the direction of actually helping our folks get back up on their feet and build in those resiliency measures so that we can continue to produce and keep Florida an ag state for the foreseeable future.
I know you mentioned citrus, and we've been very concerned because citrus production has been abysmal, to say the least. I mean, I think we're just a small percentage of what we produced just 10 years ago. Will this help with any of the issues related to citrus greening and the other things that have basically decimated that industry in Florida?
Yeah, what we've actually been working on for a while, of course, is, you know, when people think of Florida, they should also think about citrus, you know, and our orange groves. But what we've seen over the last several years is the last crop has become a housing development. And that's just terribly sad. You drive through Central Florida, you see all these housing developments pop up where there used to be just endless groves. And so because of that, we have fought to ensure that University of Florida will be leading the charge on the research to bring home a cure for the citrus greening. And we secured 6 years' worth of research dollars, millions and millions, in the reconciliation, or the one big beautiful bill, as the president would call it, we were able to secure 6 years of additional research to cure that. Because to your point, Bob, if you look at the beginning of 2000, 2001, 2002, we were producing 250 million boxes of oranges, grapefruits, et cetera. Today, it's about 20, 25 million boxes. Mm-hmm. It is the lowest it has ever been, and it's unsustainable. And so we've been really working to fix it in a way that our producers get little lifelines here and there to hold on until we can get some of these bigger issues worked out.
That'd be fantastic. And we personally are going to be talking to Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson later on. We'll be covering some of the same ideas, but from the Florida perspective a little bit more. Now, tell me about DOGE. What's the latest? Sometimes we hear about DOGE, but we haven't heard a lot lately. Tell me what they're up to. How long are they going to be around?
Well, everyone's familiar with DOGE up here in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill, and we just codified almost $10 billion worth of DOGE cuts that were identified this last week. And so that's a good start, but man, we've got a long way to go. Of course, yesterday there was a little bit of DOGE action in Gainesville. Mm-hmm. Now, I was stuck up here in Washington for votes this week, but my husband, Matt, he went and was representing some of the firefighters. Because in the city of Gainesville, as so many of us know, the commission just approved the maximum property tax rate increase that they could, which is a slap in the face, while simultaneously cutting the fire department but giving out $300,000 in art grants. Give me a break. And so I texted our new CFO, Blaze Ingolia, and was giving him kind of the lay of the land of, hey, this is a target-rich environment. We have some serious work to do. GRU, that whole situation is a mess. They continue to spend money on things that they shouldn't. They should be focusing on supporting essential services. And quite frankly, people would be appalled if they knew what police and fire have been through here in the last several years at the direction of the commission. So I think Tallahassee is going to have quite a field day when it comes to cleaning up Gainesville.
Yeah, and Greg was even at that presser yesterday, so we got a little bit of insight into that. Yeah, I was going to use your citrus reference and say, yeah, if you want to look at budget issues, Gainesville's full of low-hanging fruit. That was going to be my thing. Hey, last question. I'll make it real quick. When do you think this whole Epstein thing, what will it take and when will it just go away where we're not going to be talking about it anymore?
You know, I'm in the camp that we should release everything. I mean, of course, you need to protect victims, the children that were abused, whistleblowers, et cetera. But other than that, it should be absolute fair game. I can't believe that we're in this place now where people are saying, well, I think we need to move on. Listen, I don't think anyone's ever going to move on until we have full disclosure, accountability, and transparency. And so I've long called for that. My colleagues agree with me. I think that there's just this point where people are saying, you know, it's time to move on. It's been years. And I say, hey, bring Maxwell before Congress. Let's really get into it, because we have seen cover up after cover up after cover up. And that it's not just the Epstein stuff. It's, you know, the Russian hoax, the collusion effort, you know, with Comey and everybody. It's just, let's just get into it, let the chips fall where they may, and move on, right? People need to have that accountability, that transparency, before they're willing to close the book on it. So I'm all for releasing the Epstein files. I think we need to do it sooner rather than later. I mean, heck, I would have loved to have seen them do it on day one. But we know that the grand jury files are being unsealed, so I'm looking forward to reviewing that, as I know so many Americans are.
Love it, and always appreciate connecting with you, Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Hang in there a few more weeks, and then it'll be easy peasy after that. As a male, yeah. I jokingly laugh. Uh-huh. So, no, we wish you the best for you and your family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes. Have a good one. Go Gators.
All right. Go Gators. Congresswoman Kat Kamick, Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. Plenty more to talk about next on a happy hump day, Trump day, 97.3, The Sky. Remember when representatives in Washington would do the will of their constituents? The Democrats have forgotten that some time ago, but here we are. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:22, and your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. And quick note. The Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally download your podcasts, including iHeartRadio. And just click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minute of the show, like the fine interview we had with Congresswoman Kat Kamick just a few minutes ago. And coming up at 9:05, we're going to talk to Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson. But back to the issue. When your representatives would do the will of their constituents. Now, if you're a Democrat, you're probably going to kind of take care of Democrat issues first and foremost because you're a Democrat and your Democrat friends and voters and stuff, they voted for you in numbers large enough to put you in a position of power. So you want to address their issues. Well, what if their issues are something like, well, we don't want illegal aliens to get benefits, free benefits anymore?
Okay.
Wouldn't you work actively to stop that?
You would think so.
Well, Republicans have.
Because you do represent, you know, the American citizens that legally voted for you. I was very specific in those words, by the way.
Yes, you were.
So,
you know, they did a poll recently, and 59%, okay, nearly 6 in 10. That, you know, that's more than 50%. They keep talking about democracies. Well, You've got over 50% of Democrats. Said it is either very or at least somewhat important to keep illegal migrants from getting government benefits. So why haven't the Democrats stepped up and stopped that? The Democrat Party and the Democrat politicians don't really represent Democrats, do they? Now, here's what needs to happen. Democrats, registered Democrats, need to figure that out. Need to understand that. If you're voting for Democrats because you think they're pushing what used to be Democrat ideals, they're not. And they haven't been for a while now. What do you think the numbers would be? Hey, do you believe that, children should be able to have puberty-blocking hormones? I would say that a majority, even of Democrat voters, would say no.
Correct.
What about giving them sex change operations while they're minors? You think that's a good idea?
No.
The vast majority would say no. Hey, do you think we should teach sexually explicit and alternative lifestyle type stuff to kids in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade? I think the vast majority of even Democrat voters would say no. That's ridiculous and absurd. If you ask them, hey, what about biological males participating in women's sports? I think even Democrat voters would overwhelmingly say, no, I'm not comfortable with that. So you have to ask the question, what in the heck is going on? Where the Democrat politicians, they're doing their own thing. I mean, completely. But yet they still get the support of Democrat voters. And I don't understand it. And I wish Democrat voters would wake up to that. I get it. You know, you got Trump derangement syndrome. You hate him. You hate Republicans, conservatives. You've been taught to hate them. They're mean, evil, heartless people is what you've been taught. Mm-hmm. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. And now you look at the Republican Party, and clearly led by Trump, is the party of the working man. So if you grew up with Grandpa telling you the Democrat was the party of the working man, and there was truth to it at the time, It certainly is not true at all anymore.
But there's some frustration in there, Bob, and that is the people on the left that are misled.
Yeah.
Saw a bumper sticker driving through Gainesville the other day. Ban guns, not books. They still get stuck on these misnomers of, we're trying to just ban books. no, we're keeping like explicit material out of third graders' exposure. It's like, but they get caught up in what they're told, like you're saying, and they believe the garbage.
Yeah, well, look, I think that the vast majority of Americans understand that the idea of book banning is a bad thing.
Yes,
agreed. You know, in the big picture sense. Yes. Yeah, you don't just ban books.
Right.
Books are there, and people should have access to them. But when we say people, we're not talking about young children not only having access to material that is not suitable for children in most people's minds.
Yep.
It's not just having access, it's it being foisted upon them. Mm-hmm. COVID was a wake-up call for a lot of parents. They started to actually see, you know, what their kids were being taught, and they were outraged by it, and some changes took place. I mean, I think you've got a Republican governor in Virginia for the sole reason of what he exposed that the public schools they were teaching. So when are Democrat voters going to wake up and realize that your Democrat representatives are not representing the majority of your views? What are they doing? And they call Trump authoritarian, whereas he's actually doing the will of at least, you know, the 80 million people that voted for him. Interesting, isn't it? Wake up. 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's a happy hump day, Trump Day, with many more success stories for America coming up on 97.3 The Sky. It's all Trump's fault.
What?
Everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you name it.
You sound like a lib.
Well, I'm echoing.
Was that an impersonation of a lib right there?
Yeah.
Okay. All
right. Oh, yeah. You
channeling
know.
A lib.
You know, that's not how I feel. I'm an old school Trump humper, I tell you.
Oh, yeah.
It's 8:35 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Case in point, Superman director. Isn't this the movie where they kind of mess up the catchphrase of the whole movie? They don't say the American way or something.
Yeah, they do that. And of course, we saw a couple of interviews with the director, James Gunn, before it came out. And I was looking forward to going to see it. But when he went down that road of all wokey, well, you know, Superman was an immigrant and we took him in.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh. No, all right, I'll watch it for free at some point, maybe. I am not going to go pay to support your agenda.
Well, the movie is sucking, especially overseas, and his reasoning, the director, James Gunn, it's basically Trump's fault.
That people in another country aren't watching his movie.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. He and of course, he was doing an interview where he's not going to get much pushback on questions. Rolling Stone, you know, that far left piece of garbage rag. And it also affects things. And here's what James Gunn was saying. You know, we have a certain amount of anti-American sentiment around the world right now. It isn't really helping us. That's his way of saying Trump is so hated by people they won't see the movie.
Right.
Nice try.
Right.
Nice try.
That's a stretch.
And John Nolte writes for Breitbart, and he said, well, let me ask you a question then, James. Why is the American movie Jurassic World Rebirth, released just 9 days before Superman, grossed $400 million overseas in just 20 days?
Ooh.
Meanwhile, Superman has grossed less than half that.
Hmm.
And here's another question. If anti-American sentiment is hurting American movies overseas, how did the American movie Lilo and Stitch gross $590 million overseas?
Maybe they don't know it's American.
How to Train Your Dragon, $339 million overseas. Mission Impossible, Final Reckoning, $393 million overseas.
I still want to see that.
F1, the movie, scored $309 million overseas. And then he said, look, you know, let's cut to it. The reason Superman is underperforming overseas is because Superman, the movie, sucks.
Well, that's one way to put it.
It's just not a very good movie. Hmm. Now, Jurassic World, apparently, Rebirth, according to him, also sucks. I haven't seen either one, but he said at least it's Jurassic World movie. You know, it hits all the plot beats Jurassic Park fans would expect. Superman doesn't do that. Superman doesn't feel like a Superman movie. Lois Lane flies a spaceship, for crying out loud.
What?
Superman spends three quarters of the movie getting his butt kicked.
No, that's he's supposed to be Superman.
That's not Superman-ish.
No, it's not.
The plot apparently is full of holes and bad jokes. Above all, instead of it being a classy, educated gentleman, Gunn's Superman is also a dim-witted bro.
What?
Yeah, they really changed and destroyed the character.
But it's Trump's fault that somebody
Nobody wants to see it.
Okay.
Because there's anti-American sentiment. You know, all the billions of dollars that Trump is collecting worldwide from leaders who want to invest in America now that Trump is the president. Yeah, all those people from all those countries, yeah, they hate Trump. Give me a break. So anyway, he makes a good point.
He's trying too hard there, James.
Yeah.
Trying too hard.
Yeah. Hmm. And one of the other things he said is Superman's not as well known overseas as, say, Batman, the franchise. And that may be true.
Yeah, I get that. Batman, when you look at polling, if you will, is still like the number one superhero, if you will.
But back in 2013, Man of Steel, Superman movie, grossed $379 million. And that was in 2013, which really is $524 million in today's dollars.
Wow.
So, yeah, how did that Superman movie do so well?
I think
and this one not so well.
He's got some holes in his story.
It's just all Trump's fault. Somehow, some way.
Right. Sure. Let's go with that.
Trump is, you know what? Trump is the kryptonite of the left. Mm-hmm. They just can't think straight when Trump's involved.
Yeah.
He is their kryptonite. Right?
I like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Da, 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 da. How's John Fetterman doing?
Actually, still, seems like he's continuing to be reasonable, everything I've seen lately.
Number one.
What's that?
Number one. He's the number one stroke victim to not only recover fully from a stroke, but actually to have enhanced IQ.
Isn't that amazing?
It tis indeed.
It's like clarity and and the real world opened up before his eyes after the stroke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got some of that clogged up, leftyism out of his system, apparently.
So that was what was causing it. Okay.
Yeah.
That explains it.
His wife recently was speaking out. Giselle Fetterman, the wife of Senator John Fetterman from Pennsylvania, revealed that she would not be supportive of her husband launching a run for president.
Interesting.
Yep.
Probably smart woman in that case.
Oh. During an interview with Meghan McCain, which will be released in its entirety, later on today, Giselle was asked if her husband has any ambitions to run for higher office. Fetterman responded by expressing that, well, that's a question for him. That's a question for him. But me? No, I'm not supportive of that at all. Yeah, I certainly wouldn't be supportive of that. She said it, straight out. Yeah. And so I guess we won't have to worry about a presidential hoodie or sweatshirt anytime soon.
No, because I can just see those, his fans would like those. You'd have hoodies with a presidential seal on them.
That'd be cool.
All that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During the interview, McCain also indicated that it seemed like Giselle has no interest in running for office. She confirmed that and dismissed rumors that she has any political ambitions. So she said, I've never told anyone in my life that I would run for office or had any desire to. Mm. You couldn't pay me to run for office. But that was some sort of running news for months, apparently. During a previous interview with MSNBC, Giselle revealed that she hated politics and added that it's just so mean.
Well, that's true. That is true.
But John Fetterman, he's one of the few clear-thinking Democrats, and he was the one who suffered a
stroke.
And
he wasn't like that originally. We saw the difference, the transformation, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah.
How many catalytic converters do you have to steal to make it a $600 million enterprise?
What?
Yeah. $600 million. They busted a theft ring, and that's what they figure they've done that in business. New Jersey wow. man pled guilty in Oklahoma federal court to leading a massive theft ring that stole catalytic converters from vehicles and sold them for more than $600 million in total to a refinery that extracted precious metals contained in the devices. The defendant, Navin Khanna, yeah, he was pulling a con all right, is the latest person to plead guilty in connection with the ring, which was exposed by police in Tulsa, discovered nearly 130 catalytic converters in the bed of a truck they stopped in May of 21 after an off-duty officer reported suspicions about the vehicle. The stop came after a nationwide surge of thefts in catalytic converters, which are part of the exhaust systems of the automobiles, and they happen to contain precious metals like platinum, palladium, and rhodium.
You figure that on average, you're just, and again, because average depends on if it's a truck, a European car, American car, you're looking anywhere from probably $100 to several $100, and some as high as $1,000, as far as value each based on what you can get out of it.
Oh, you mean what they can extract from it?
Yeah. They're worth a few $100 a piece easily.
Yeah.
It depending on what car they
get. Well, and the replacement cost, I think they're like $1,500 minimum.
That hurts.
Aren't they? Yeah. So the people that were victims.
Well, you look at those three elements you just mentioned and what they go for an ounce, it's crazy money. So, yeah, adds up.
Oh, yeah. I just did a big palladium deal myself recently.
Yeah. I thought that sounds almost like what's in your Coke Zero. Oh, that was phenylalanine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a deal on titanium.
Really?
Yeah. I have a couple of plates in my head. That's not a joke.
Yeah, you're not going to turn those into the pawn shop, though.
I just need a screwdriver and a wet vac and some duct tape, and I'll get right to it.
We'll just get you near an MRI machine. That'll take care of it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a happy hump day, Trump day. Bob Rose Show available on podcast, wherever you normally download your podcast. Click subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show. Coming up, 9:05, Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson on 97.3 The Sky. Presidential immunity? What? 8:49 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy, happy hump day, Trump day, and welcome. Yep, President Donald Trump believes the Department of Justice should go directly after former President Barack Obama following the recent revelations from Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard when she let loose on a bunch of documents on Friday, went on the air, I believe it was Sunday, with Maria Bartiromo, and explained that this is very, very serious stuff, how they tried to set up President Trump. Before he was elected, and then even after he was elected but hadn't yet taken office. A reporter asked Trump about the Tulsi Gabbard and submitting this criminal referral to the DOJ following her declassification of documents, which, by the way, after the Obama people put out a statement basically, you know, poo-pooing the whole thing, the whole idea, she's going to put out more documents apparently later on today, is my understanding. All right. But she has the documents that show that the Obama administration deliberately manufactured intelligence, not put their happy little slant on it, manufactured it, made it up.
Wow.
Deliberately.
That's totally different.
To create the false Trump-Russia collusion hoax. When asked who the DOJ should target as part of their investigation, Trump said, well, Obama himself.
Huh.
Now, you have presidential immunity, and this happened while President Obama was in office. I'm not sure how that would work post-presidency.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, while he's in office, you might have grounds for impeachment. I mean, you certainly would, but...
But then there you're theoretically, you know, working on executive, you know, decisions. You're not, once you're not the president anymore.
Yeah, that's why it would be difficult. But yeah, for the bozos around him, it would be interesting. Mm. Like, you know, James Clapper and John Brennan.
All your buddies, your favorites.
And former FBI Director Comey. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We knew they were all dirty, nasty, sleazy little scumbags. But but now there's the documentation that, to me, makes it ironclad. But we live in the modern era where the wealthy and the powerful seem to get away with an awful lot.
Does seem like it.
But Trump said, if you look at the papers, they have them stone cold. It was President Obama. It wasn't lots of people all over the place. Well, it was them too, but the leader of the gang was Barack Hussein Obama. Have you heard of him? He said. And except for the fact that he gets shielded by the press for his entire life, that's the one that they, well, he just said, look, he's guilty. And he said, it's there. He's guilty. This was treason. This was every word you could think of. They tried to steal the election. They tried to change and impact the election. They did things that nobody's ever even imagined, even in other countries. You've seen some pretty rough countries. This man has seen some pretty rough countries, but you've never seen anything like this. Hmm. It'll be interesting if new documentation even further solidifies what appears to be the situation.
Yeah.
Yep. House Speaker Mike Johnson has since said the Congress may subpoena Obama over allegations that he colluded with America's intelligence agencies to create the fake Trump-Russia collusion narrative. Again, not sure. Look, he's going to, what's he going to do, take the Fifth? I mean, what?
Right.
Go after, I guess, who you can. Mm-hmm. Make deals with whoever you need to, I guess, to get to the heart of the matter. But we have to put something in place that would prevent this kind of thing from happening again in the future. If Democrats ever take power again, what would stop them from basically doing the same exact thing?
Sure. You know, watching some network news this morning before I came to work, it's amazing how they're handling this whole thing. Because while they like to, when Trump is talking about the scenario, use words like baseless and no evidence, and they just basically want to shut down his narrative on this, then they come back and just this overblown Epstein thing they're still trying to do. They want to connect Epstein and Trump. So they want to blow off what Trump says about Obama and then just pile it on about Epstein's relationship with Trump.
Well, I think if they release all the documents, there probably is some documentation in there that shows that they knew each other.
Sure they did.
That had been together at the same place at the same time, maybe on multiple occasions.
Yeah, same circles. Yeah.
And there's probably several other people that are named in similar fashion. The problem there is, who do you think the media is going to pick on?
Oh, yeah.
They'll pick on any single kind of conservative that they can, and they will implicate that, they're tied to Epstein.
Right.
And then any of the ones who may be really red-handed actually participating in some of these unsavory things, they will just kind of, gloss over that very quickly.
Yeah,
you know how that works.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if you're conservative and you go up to bat against the media, you've got two strikes against you already. I mean, we've seen that in action over a period of years. It's the way it is. So Congresswoman Kat Kamik, when she was on the show, she said she's for the full, open all the documents, unseal it all, and let all fly, let the chips fall where they may. And that's one way to sort of kind of get rid of the issue. Maybe better to deal with it now than closer to the midterms.
Which could be tenuous.
Tenuous.
That's, and now our word of the day is tenuous. Use it in a sentence.
I got a tenuous shot the other day.
Did you really? Well,
yes.
Good. Well, you need to
how
stay
did
away
I see?
From,
see how I use that in a sentence?
Yeah. Stay away from rusty nails, Bob.
My old English teacher, she's very, maybe not so proud now.
Yeah, maybe not.
8:56 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. You believe it? 9 o'clock stretch coming up already, and we're going to talk Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson. Citrus, farming, issues after huge storms and hurricanes have ravaged us. There's a solution coming up.